Hi everyone, thank you very much for coming today, the last day of the conference. My name is Álvaro Sanz and I am a postdoctoral fellow in Felix Fritzi Lab in University of Missouri, and I'm going to talk today about using carbon isotope discrimination to estimate water use efficiency in soybean and the relationship of water use efficiency with some physiological traits. But first, we are going to start checking why water use efficiency is important in plants. Water use efficiency is a characteristic that it has been understudied in field, at least, but is one of the traits that can help to the plant response in drought environments. But the problem that this characteristic has is that it's very difficult to measure in the field, because as you can see there, is the amount of biomass or seed produced by unit of water used by the crop. Unit of water use per the crop is very difficult to measure in field settings, because you can calculate how much water do you give to the crop or how much rain the crop receives, but you can't measure how much that water is used by the plant. You can use, for example, eddy covariance to estimate evapotranspiration, but that's very difficult to use, and also you can only measure very big areas of a field. So to use those kind of approaches for a breeding program is not very useful. For that reason, to try to implement this for breeding purposes, we started to study carbon isotope discrimination and see if we can correlate it with water use efficiency. Because in wheat, as you can see here, you can see that there is a negative correlation in different experiments. But this correlation changes depending the weather and, for example, the water availability. And not to say also that when you research in other crops, for example, that is not wheat, this correlation can change. So what we wanted to see is what happens in soybean. But for before to doing that, you have to account for one thing. If you want to study water use efficiency using carbon isotope discrimination, you have to check if there is genotypic variation in carbon isotope discrimination in soybean, because if there is not, you are losing your time. So what some co-workers of mine did in the lab, and in collaboration with University of Arkansas, they screened a variety panel of more than 300 genotypes of soybean, and they grow them in two locations and during 2 years. And after that, we have followed doing more phenotyping with maturity groups 3 and 4. This maturity groups 3 and 2s. This was in maturity group 4, and as you can see here, we saw that there was genotypic variation in carbon isotope discrimination in the different environments. And I'm not showing here the data, but for the maturity group 2s and maturity group 3s, we got similar results. So for testing our objectives that I'm going to show you very in a moment, we selected string genotypes for low and high carbon isotope discrimination. And what we wanted to do, we wanted to study if carbon isotope discrimination is a good tool or surrogate measure to estimate water use efficiency, and to do this in different water conditions. And also, we wanted to study which physiological parameters are behind or responsible of this variation in water use efficiency. So to do that, we, as I said, selected different string genotypes for carbon isotope discrimination. We replicate this in 2 years, and we used different genotypes. We used 2 genotypes in 2014 and 4 genotypes in 2016. And we grow this in field conditions, and as you can see here, this is the Bradford Research Center in Columbia, and we grew the plants over tables that they can move, so we can put them outside of this hoop house when it's sunny and inside when there is a chance of rain, so we can control all the time the amount of water that these plants are receiving. Also, we did several water treatments, as I was saying before, and we did 3 in total during the 2 years, 3 water treatments, a well water treatment of maintaining the plants between 100% and 80% of soil water content, mild stress, maintaining the plants in 50% of soil water content, and severe water stress for 30% of soil water content. And how do we control and measure that these plants, how much water they were losing. We use a microlitimeter system, you can see here in this picture, scales connected to a computer that they were recording the weight of the plants all the time, and with that we could calculate the amount of water that these plants lose during the season or during a period of time of days, and even we can do it in minutes. To measure the water use efficiency, we harvest these plants in several time points. Today I'm going to show you only the data for R5, but the other data in the different time points that we collected the plants, they are very similar. And with that biomass that we harvested, we dry it and analyze the carbon isotope discrimination in the biomass, so we could correlate with the water use efficiency. And to research more in the physiological parameters, we perform diurnal photosynthetic measurements, so we measure the plants at different conditions, the conditions that they were in the moment in the ambient at 9, 12, 3 and 6 of the day, and let's see some results. First of all, I'm going to show you if the selection that we did in field was maintained in the pot experiment, and as you can see here, the genotype selected for low carbon isotope discrimination showed lower carbon isotope discrimination in both years and also in both water treatments. But what it was curious is, at least in 2016, the genotype select for low carbon isotope discrimination showed a higher decrease in carbon isotope discrimination when they were stressed. Okay, so what happened with the water use efficiency? You can see we saw the contrary trend as in carbon isotope discriminations. The low carbon isotope discrimination here in blue showed higher water use efficiency here too, in comparison with the genotype selected for high carbon isotope discrimination. And this increase in water use efficiency was observed also when we grew the plants in a mild water stress. But when we grew the plants in severe water stress, this increase in water stress was not as we suspected, because the plants were pretty crushed at that level of stress. So what happened with the relation between water use efficiency and carbon isotope discrimination? So you can see here, in both years we had a negative relationship between water use efficiency and carbon isotope discrimination. It was stronger in the first year, and it was a little bit weaker in the second year, probably because the inclusion of the severe water stress. But even though we had pretty good correlation values, and for that we seen that carbon isotope discrimination can be used to predict water use efficiency under different water stress conditions, and can be used in the field to screen for water use efficiency in breeding programs. We are doing that right now, and we are trying to introgress these low and high carbon isotope discrimination traits in elite material. But what happened with the differential water use efficiency? Why these plants are different in water use efficiency? So here I am showing you the response of, this is the mean of two genotypes for high carbon isotope discrimination in red, and the mean of the photosynthesis and stomatal conductance for the low carbon isotope discrimination in blue. Okay, and you can see that the genotypes that they were low water use efficiency, so the high CID, the red ones, they showed higher photosynthesis than the ones that were higher water use efficient. But the high water use efficiency had less photosynthesis, but showed much lower stomatal conductance. So the use of water of these genotypes is much lower. And this was maintained in the mild water stress. And one pretty curious thing, that it correlates with the canopy temperature images that we have seen earlier. The difference between the genotypes early in the morning, they are not visible, and they start to making very visible in the midday. That's probably because the high water use efficient genotypes take advantage of the cool temperatures in the morning, try to photosynthesize more, and after that they close the stomata and try to go spending as less water as possible in the well water conditions, in the mild water conditions, and in the severe water conditions. But in this case, the difference between the two treatments, they are very obvious even in the beginning of the morning. So in general, the mean of the reduction between these genotypes, they show that the high water use efficient genotypes, so the ones that they were selected for low carbon isotope discrimination, show a lower photosynthesis than the low water use efficient genotypes, but in compensation they had a 48 reduction in stomatal conductance, so they were transpirating much less. And you will say probably, oh, okay, you have selected for high water use efficient, but probably you are going to have a yield penalty or a biomass penalty. So we check that. We have checked the effect in the biomass, and as you can see here, there was not a biomass penalty. The genotypes, the high water use efficient genotypes in blue, they present the same biomass than the lower water use efficient ones. So there is no a biomass penalty, and we can, so there is a discrepancy between photosynthesis and biomass accumulation. We are now studying what can be these causes. I have to say that the measurements that we took for photosynthesis, we did it in the leaf level, and we know that that's not representative of all the plants, but as in the biomass, they showed similar leaf areas between them. And this summer we have been taking a canopy photosynthesis measurement of these two lines, and we are trying to see if there is a difference in canopy photosynthesis or respiration that can make this difference in biomass, or that we could understand that difference in biomass. Other reason of this difference, it can be difference in radiation use efficiency. We have measured interception use efficiency and it's pretty similar, but we think that conversion use efficiency can be one of the causes of these differences. And for conclusions, I will say that soybean genotype, carbon isotope discrimination signatures are consistent between field and controlled experiments, and that carbon isotope discrimination technique can be used as a proxy to estimate water use efficiency under different water availability, and that the genotypes selected for low carbon isotope discrimination, they are higher water use efficient in comparison with the genotypes selected for high CID. And in these selected genotypes, we are not saying that all low carbon isotope discrimination and all high carbon isotope discrimination have the same mechanism, but in these genotypes, high water use efficiency was achieved through lower transpiration and photosynthesis. However, high water use efficiency genotypes didn't produce a biomass penalty. So I would like to thank to Felix Fritzi, the PI in our lab, and all the people in the Fritzi lab, and Andrew Escabu, another University of Missouri professor, and to our collaborators in University of Arkansas and USDA.
Thank you. So other than how in the world they can afford that many 6400s, does anyone have any questions for our speaker? We have time for one question.
We heard all the Lycos from the university.
Yeah.
That one of your last ones, you saw no real change in biomass. Does that account for both above ground and below ground?
This is only above, but we have the data for below, and they are the same.
Okay.
And they were in really big pots, but yeah, they had the same.
Okay.
We have that, but I didn't show it. It was the same between them, or very, very different, very small differences, but it was not significant. between high and low CID. There was no. No, we didn't record if there was, but they were pretty similar between them. No, there was no differences in leaf area between high and low. There was very different between the water treatments, but no between genotypes.
Okay. I think that's good. We don't really have any time for more questions. Thank you.